Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Today we're going to have a short message. There has been this budding controversy that has come to my attention, and I feel like that I as a pastor and us as a church need to address this. This may be some disagreements like over Calvinism or Arminianism or eschatologically, that Christians may have differences. None of those are salvific in nature, right? They have nothing to do with the nature of Christ or the nature of salvation. This one actually does. While we can sit down as a provisionist with a Calvinist and an Arminian and we all be brothers, this, I'm going to call a budding controversy, has the potential to split believers. Recently, John Harris, he's a great guy. He had on his podcast a gentleman that came on, and I personally had never heard of the term Plan B theology, and I don't really fully understand what all that entails. But this is in response to something that was written by a Doug Wilson. He's a pastor and a blogger. He's well known. He's out of Moscow, Idaho. Now, he is a Reformed pastor, and he is a post-millennial in his eschatology, which we would disagree on Reformed theology, and we would disagree eschatologically. Though on this, I myself and Pastor Dallas and I have spoken, we are both in agreement with Doug Wilson on most of this. So here is the issue I want to discuss. It is, on one side of the argument, you have those that say a homosexual can be a Christian so long as they abstain. I've heard that many, many times. And the contractors against that would say that opens the door for open homosexuality in the church. On the other side, there is the argument that would say a homosexual can never be a Christian, and would say that even temptation is a sin. Doug Wilson, bless his heart, has found himself being targeted by both sides. Because I do believe on this, he has taken the biblical stance, and both sides disagree with him. And both sides are accusing Doug Wilson of being on the opposing side. Yesterday, I'm watching Christian content, and this video pops up, and I didn't watch very far. And it had me just shut it off, and I went to Doug Wilson's blog post, and I actually read his blog. And I read it, and I came out of it in full agreement with Doug Wilson. So this is his point. And then I will make my point to it. The point that he made is, one, a Christian cannot also identify as a homosexual. To say that one is a homosexual is to identify with one's sin. A believer who has same-sex attraction, who is truly saved, they may have the temptation but not the desire. They may have the temptation, that same-sex attraction, but they abstain from it. And there's a very clear distinction here between, and I'm going to come back to this and articulate a little more clearly, the difference between temptation and desire. The only identity that matters is our identity in Christ. And we should never identify ourselves with our sin. So no, a homosexual cannot be a Christian, because a homosexual is identifying with their sin. A homosexual is one identifying with their sin who desires that sin. In the same way that an adulterer who willingly is unfaithful, habitually unfaithful. Cannot be a Christian. See, as I've said so many times in sermons, you've heard other pastors say this, your works do not save you, but they are, however, evidence that you have been saved. When we look at this situation, we must remember that we, each and every one of us, were once sinners. When Paul condemns sexual immorality, he would say, as some of you had been. None of us are born sinless. None of us live lives without sin. There is a difference between being tempted by sin and desiring that sin. The next point was about the nature of temptation itself. On one side of the argument, they would say, being tempted is sin. If someone is tempted, they must confess that sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted as we are tempted, yet he was sinless. Being tempted in and of itself is not a sin. If temptation is sin, then Jesus was a sinner, because Jesus was tempted just as we are. The difference there is the temptation versus the desire. I'll give an example. You've got young Joey, and he gets a job. And he's working there for a while, and a young lady gets hired and is a new employee. And this young lady seems to like him quite a bit. But see, now young Joey is a married man. He did not go to work with the intention of having beginning an extramarital affair, yet he is being tempted by a coworker. Now that Joey, if he's a Christian, he's going to set boundaries, I'm happily married, and leave it at that. Now he was tempted, but there was no intent, no desire there. Now, however, if young Joey is some early 20-something married man, and he instead tells his wife that he's got to go to some kind of work-related event out of town, but instead he's going to meet up with that coworker. Well, see, now that is an intentional sin. That's an intentional. That is a sin by desire. They're not the same thing. That gets into the nature of sin itself. You have accidental sin and you have willful sin. An accidental sin is you're driving down the road and somebody just cuts you off. And your blood begins to boil and you speed up and go around them and you maybe you yell something to them. That's an accidental sin. an intentional sin would be, I'm upset at my neighbor, and he's just, that neighbor is just every day just egging me on. And one morning I just wake up and I decide enough is enough, and I go out my front door and I go and knock on his, I go and knock on his door and I give him a black eye. That is a willful, intentional sin. There's a difference between accidental and intentional sin, in the same way that there is a difference between temptation and desire. So knowing this, I think that the key to this whole controversy is not conflating temptation and desire, because it's different. Jesus speaks of the intention of the heart. If you're mad at your brother unjustly, you committed murder in your heart. If you lust after lusting willfully here, lusting after another woman, you committed adultery already in your heart. So if this, I'm bringing all this back here, this hypothetical Christian believer with same-sex attraction, if that brother in Christ, if he is saved, he's fleeing from the temptation, he does not desire that lifestyle, but for whatever reasons, childhood trauma, whatever it may be, he finds these temptations coming to the surface. He doesn't want them. He flees from them. He doesn't participate. He doesn't identify with the label. That is a brother in Christ. If that same individual, however, had been lied to by the world, or I should say the worldly church, that would say you can be a Christian and a homosexual, to believe the lie that some churches are teaching now, that you can be an open homosexual and be a Christian, his continued sin, willful sin, will condemn him until he repents from it. And to repent is to confess one's sin and to turn from it. It is important that each and every one of us, every believer, recognize that we must mourn sin. What I mean by this is mourn the penalty of sin. The sin that we see in the world, the sin that we see in our friends and our family, and the sin that we see in ourselves, because we mourn it, because we know that it is our sin that separates man from God. It is sin that a holy and righteous God will judge. With joy and adulation and praise, we lift our hands to God in praise and worship, because we know that God has provided a way through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that each and every one of us can be saved. The Bible tells us that no sin is so great that it cannot be covered by the blood of Christ. No sin so great that it cannot be forgiven. Even some of the most vile of sins you can think of can be forgiven. If we say that even simple temptation is sin, if we are closing off an entire group of people in our theology from even being able to come to Christ, we are limiting the atonement of Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Yes, we can clearly condemn the sin, all sin, and to call the sinner from their sin, to reject their sin, to cast aside the labels the world would give them, and point them to Christ. We do not have a member of our congregation with same-sex attraction. We, as far as I know, we don't. I don't know of anyone who may follow us online. To those who may see this, who are a believer, who may struggle with this temptation, there is some trauma in your past that you must address. There is something there, a stumbling block that you must heal from. Come to God in prayer. Pray for deliverance. Pray that the Holy Spirit show you this stumbling block. Continue to flee from that temptation. Set all the desires of your heart upon God and of the things of heaven. We all struggle with temptation. I struggle with temptation. Every human being struggles with temptation. We need not beat ourselves up over being tempted. Our Savior was tempted, yet he did not sin. You too can be tempted and not fall into that sin. You too can be tempted, yet expel from you any desire. When you are saved, truly converted, when you truly are walking with God, you will desire the things of God. You will no longer desire your sin. So yes, someone with a that may be tempted with same-sex attraction, they can be a Christian. What differentiates this, however, is whether there is a desire, whether the individual is indulging in it. In the same way, we cannot willfully indulge in any sexual immorality and think that we're going to be okay with God. Yes, we can stumble. We all stumble. Even if one were to fall willfully into sin, God is there to pick you up and to forgive you. But to forgive you, you must, with sincerity, repent, to confess, and to turn away. Let us remember that we can condemn sin without hating the sinner. Knowing that each and every one of us ourselves were once that same sinner. Not just a sinner, but the same sinner. That at one time in our life, each and every one of us was once in open rebellion to God in our sin. Jesus loved the sinner. And he called the sinner unto righteousness, called them out of their sin, and we should do the same. Anyone who would say that temptation itself is a sin is on dangerous ground. When you take that to its conclusion, it makes our Savior a sinner, and he was not. Let us remember to keep each other in our prayers. The great thing about church, about having brothers and sisters in Christ, a church family, is that we can lift one another up when we are weak. Carry one another when we can. Share one another's burdens. Give encouragement to one another. We are all loved. We are all loved by God. So may God keep and bless each and every one of you. Read your Bibles. Seek God in prayer. Understand that the only identity that matters is your identity in Christ. Share the gospel with all that you meet. And even the temptations, whatever those temptations may be, that will come before you, and they will, to reject that temptation, to flee from that temptation, and to turn to God. God bless each and every one of you.